for it, but here.
I don't know if
that's
Matt,
the sound
Matt
you
actually,
should have at the beginning of the show. Like, what's his name that just passed away? Russ Martin.
Do you like it neat? You want some ice? Or?
Did you ever listen to him?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay,
Russ
cool.
Martin Russ on the Eagle?
This is a decent scotch. It's like my it's really? My go-to budget like scotch, honestly. You know, it's like $38 or $40 a bottle. And
sure.
You know, they say you should never pour your
appreciate
own drink.
That.
Thank you.
You want some?
I'm good.
They do say that. It's just like the way it works. Like,
it doesn't work that way.
I can't.
Right?
Yeah, I can't get the. Yeah.
Sure.
I appreciate that, man.
Well, it smells great.
I'm supposed to be a host, you know, but I'm like over here, like, hey, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem.
I appreciate that.
Clinky. Glad to be here.
We can actually just get this thing started, I guess, huh? What's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky.
And I'm Maddie B.
Today we've got guests because obviously it's guest week, and you guys know the drill. So let's get toasty. Right. So today we're talking about healthcare insurance. If you guys didn't know, I put this on social media to let you guys know what we're going to be talking about. I've got a guy that's the CEO of his own company.
Chris Yokley. The name of the company is Advocate Financial.
Advocate Financial. And Chasen, who is related to Matt, brother-in-law?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay.
Getting it down.
Dude, let's get to it, man.
Let's get toasty.
La familia.
Basically, I just like I tell the audience kind of like who you are. Where you came from, all that kind of thing, you know?
Okay, yeah, I'll go. So, Chasen, young Matthew Kimosabe, his his sister's husband. So, he is my brother-in-law. Full disclosure, he did help me with some manual labor. So, the podcast was a quid pro quo.
That's hey, why dude. We have such good guests, though. I mean,
right?
I get out there,
dude,
and I do
whatever
I
you
do
gotta do,
man. With the hands,
man. Bartering, gotta, dude.
Exactly.
Hey, the one hand with the saw there with no support. I was a little concerned, but you knocked it out of the park. It was I appreciate it. No, so I'm from Fort Worth. Matthew grew up in Aledo. Obviously, I was dating his sister back in the day, and you know, it all led to some good stuff. But I grew up on the West Side, and kind of I've traveled a little bit, but not too far. I love Texas. Love Dallas, Fort Worth. Well, more Fort
Texas
Worth.
Texas forever,
than
dude. Yeah, Texas yeah. forever.
I got a Succeed sticker on my truck, FYI. If, if you guys want to get down with the cause, I'll send you the info. But what we're seeing, we might need to do that. But no,
hey, you never know, dude. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. I got two children. I'm a father, a husband, a business owner, college graduate, but conservative, leaning like you guys, but not too hardcore, but I've listened to a little bit. I feel like we're kind of like-minded individuals, and I'm happy to share, man.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Just to give full disclosure, I like to try to stay like a little bit unbiased, but yeah, we usually lean conservative, right? Obviously, Matt does for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm not sparse with my words here.
Right, because like apparently even the you know higher ups, I guess you might say, or people that I want to have on as guests will never say they're conservative, right?
Oh, no, is
come
that
on.
A bad word?
No, you're good. Well, it is to YouTube, apparently. But no, you're good. I have to throw the disclaimers and crap, and it's dumb, dude. I don't know why, but I had to do it. So.
Now, I get what you're saying. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
That's right the now. World we live in right now, right? But we're not wearing masks, so that's cool.
Oh.
I thought a beard was a mask. Or a good mustache. Heck, yeah, it's the same thing. You shouldn't have to wear one if you have that.
Right. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and get us familiar, man.
Awesome. Chris Yokley, born and raised in Illinois. I don't like to brag about that, but it shaped who I am today.
Yeah.
Was blessed enough to grow up in a small town down in the central Illinois area. Knew one thing, and that was I needed to get out of town, and I had to figure out how to do it. There wasn't really anything in my town except a factory. That was what it came down to. My parents said, you're not leaving to go to college. You're going to stay here and work at the factory. I ended up getting a full ride to go play basketball, and I was told you're not taking it. You're not going to play basketball.
What
you're going to stay
heck?
In my small town. My mom actually stepped up and said, I'll do whatever I can to help you regardless of what you know what's happening. We're going to do whatever we can. So I ended up calling my coach, and he found a way for me to get a ride to get to college. So I went to Olivet, played there for 4 years, played basketball, and had a great career. And, you know, I will tell you, you know, from an education standpoint, for me, it was the exit of leaving town to find opportunities more than it was the education. The education is needed, but I feel like you, when you grow up and you leave home, there's a lot of education.
Connections there. You can make.
Hard knocks.
And that too, right.
Ended up one of the guys that I played with, and I met a lot of great athletes along the way, and all their family had money, and they used to always talk about insurance, and I'm thinking, I got to do something that separates me from the pack. So I went and sold books door to door. Have you ever had someone, a college student, knock on your door selling encyclopedias?
That's what you were selling, encyclopedias?
There is an internship still today.
Okay, I heard the magazine.
Sorry, dude, but what year are we in right now?
What is an encyclopedia?
Like? Yeah. Okay. I don't want to date myself, but for the ones that are listening, the World Book is a really big group of books that gives you a lot of references and a lot of good information. So anyway, I went and sold books for this internship company. That it's called Southwestern Book Sales. And they literally make you walk into a room and you have six people sitting on a board, and your job is to recite this book. It's a big binder, word for word. And if you do it, they say, okay, congratulations, you've been hired. Go in this room and wait. It's kind of like American Idol. They were putting us in different
what
rooms.
What the heck, dude?
Very similar.
You know, our talent was memorizing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I guarantee it.
So once they did that, they came in and said, okay, congratulations, you've made it to the next part. You need to drive to, and they told me, go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. So luckily I had a car. I was borrowing my now wife, my girlfriend at the time's car, because I didn't have a car. And we drove to Hershey, Pennsylvania. I had never really left Illinois except to go to Kentucky. That was a family reunion. And now I'm driving across the country with enough money for gas, and that was pretty much it.
Right.
Once you get there, they tell you to open up the back binder. You have 3 days to memorize. You have 3 days to find a family to live with. Memorize this script. So now I have to start door knocking to find a family to let me live with them.
Whoa, what?
This is still happening today.
This is still happening.
You can go. They have a huge place in Nashville, Tennessee. It's an amazing company. If you're talking about, it's kind of a boot camp for sales. But there's been four U.S. presidents that have completed this, and the average student that finishes the whole summer walks away after the first year making six figures in any sales job they go into.
So this is a thing.
This is a real thing.
Okay, this isn't just some stupid, like, holy cow.
It's like West Point for sales.
This is not like West Point for sales. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's West Point insane. For sales for sure.
So
who's going to... You found someone to live with?
You sell or you die.
Hold on. Yes, you sell or you die.
What the heck?
So, yes, I opened up the binder and it said script to find a family to live with. And it's like, hey, my name is Chris Yokley. I just have a quick minute. And you tap on your hand. I'm new to the area and I'm looking for a family to live with for the summer. Why door knock selling books? Would you have a room or know someone to have a room available? First two houses, you can imagine. Slammed the door on me. The third one called the cops on me. So by the third door, I was in the back of a cop car. This was not going well.
Oh my gosh.
I had hit the rock bottom and I called the company. I'm like, hey, what do I do? And they're like, you're on your own. Figure it out. If you don't figure it out, you're fired.
Wow.
That's the kind of support you got. But you was hard knocks. Like, this is what you have to do to be successful. Guy said one word. He said, figure out how to network and you'll survive. And I'm like, network? What is network? I was 22 years old. Networking was, you know, it's not what it is today with social media. And I'm like, network? Well, network is find something that you can, you know, you can find that's common no matter where you're at.
Connect with somebody.
So anywhere. I realized I go to the largest Nazarene college in the country. I play basketball for this school. The next house I'm going to door knock, I'm going to ask if there's a Nazarene church or a pastor. And sure enough, the next house I knocked on, she goes, there's a Nazarene pastor next door. And before she even shut the door, I was running to the next house. Ended up, the guy said I can come on Sunday, introduce myself. Before service even started, I had already talked to someone and they said, hey, we want you to come live with us for the whole summer. They gave me their guest house. They gave me a car to drive. It just was perfect timing. Now I had to sell 80 hours a week. I had to door knock 150 doors to do 40 presentations to do one sale. And if I didn't do one sale a day, I was fired. And you have to do this for all 8 weeks.
That's testing for sure. A lot of rejections, man.
A ton of rejections.
And that's sales, right? But like, dude, holy cow.
Yeah. So once I got through that, and I did that just to buy an engagement ring to my wife. My wife and I are celebrating 18 years in 2 weeks. So we've been married 18 years.
Heck yeah, dude.
Been together 20. But
isn't that close to Mother's Day?
May 17th.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Anniversary. Yeah.
Right around the corner.
So a few weeks. But I'm telling you, I knew I had to do something to separate myself. If not, I was going to go down the same path that my family had gone down. And we came – I mean, I grew up in a double-wide trailer where we used to put bales of hay around the house so the pipes didn't freeze. And I'm the oldest of five. So, I mean, we had seven people living in a 2- to 3-bedroom trailer. So I knew I had to do something, and I wasn't going to, and I was the oldest too, so I knew I had to figure it out, or I wasn't going to get the opportunity to marry this girl.
You were already used to that. Like, you were already in that mindset anyway. So I was. When they said you have to find someone to live with, you're like, let's go.
I'm not stopping. So the best part, the reason I bring all that up, that kind of sets the pace for everything.
Right.
Because once I did that, that's awesome. Once I did that, and once I established that, that mindset, I finished the whole summer. I ended up having a great year. I was able to buy her the engagement ring with cash. I was able to do things that I never imagined. Then it was, okay, now I got to get a job. Well, I talked to the company. The Southwest set me up with anybody who sold books, and a lot of COOs and CEOs all sold books. So a lot of my interviews with Fortune 500 companies, and I was interviewing, and the interview was just talking about book sales stories. And we call ourselves the Bookmen. It's kind of a thing inside this organization.
What the heck, dude?
It's getting kind of conspiratorial.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's kind of crazy. But it's
a little like, mind-blowing. Not gonna lie.
It's really cool.
Illuminati.
Yeah.
They're just a bunch of book sales.
They're just a book salesman. That's all it is.
Don't look past the book.
You guys will be successful. You sell books.
But it changed my perspective. Yeah, it changed my perspective, though. First job interview, he's like, listen, you're going to be on the phone. I was like, yes, I'm going to be on the phone. This is great. I don't have to go door knock. Like, you're going to have to call like 1,000 people a week. Fantastic. This guy's looking at me like, what is wrong with this kid? He is so pumped. But my perspective was I was going to be, you know, door knocking 150 families, crying on the side of the street because, looking for a place to live. I mean, it really just beat me down. So that's my background of how from college I knew I was never going to, if you look back in my yearbook, I mean, my coach did this interview with us and he said, so what do you want to do someday? And I knew at that moment, I said, I want to be the CEO of my own organization and never let someone tell me what I'm worth. And that's still in my yearbook from my senior year of college. So when I came out, everything I did, I was striving for that purpose.
Every day. For that.
It wasn't to be told what I was worth. No one's going to let me tell me to trade time. I can't get time back.
No, you can't.
And I wasn't going to be told to train, to do that. And I wasn't going to be told you're only worth $40,000 a year. That's why that story I was talking about earlier with my wife, she was pretty adamant that you're not going to take a job where someone tells you what salary you're going to have. You're not going to have that position. You're better than that.
Yeah.
Because she knew I was very clear from the beginning, this is what I wanted. So,
right.
Transitioned into insurance and never looked back. So 2003 is when it all started. And then just a couple of years ago, I moved down here to pursue something even better. Partnerships with guys like Jason and some few other guys here locally at Advocate. And just never looked back. Same mindset.
Yeah, and that's what, honestly, anything in life that's going to get you anywhere is going to be a mindset. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, that's the first thing that has to change no matter what. I literally just had a post on freaking Facebook about the time equals money thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, time doesn't really equal money. In my opinion, time is greater than money, period, full stop. Because, like, you know, you can't get time back.
And that value of time goes up when you start having a family. When you have a wife, when you have kids.
When you're dividing all of it, right?
Shrinks a lot. Yeah. Exactly.
Literally the reason, like, I quit my day job and I was like, you know what? Screw this. This is full-time content creation. Whatever.
Don't stop.
It's everything. Every day, just consistent, right? So that's cool, man. That's actually really inspiring to hear that.
And that's what I told my daughter. She's like, Dad, why do you work so much? When she was 3 or 4 years old, she used to tell people when they asked what your dad do, she'd say, well, he sells money and offers Pinterest. She's 3 years old, 4 years old. She didn't understand it, but she's like, my dad works hard now so that when I'm older, he has more time with me.
Right.
So everything I did was an investment, which was the time away from home. Mm-hmm. Which now she's in high school, and I've never missed a game, never missed an event, never missed a pick her up from school, take her to school, whatever.
But doesn't insurance suck?
So that's one thing I want to talk about, though. Like, insurance in the eyes of, you know, plebs, if you will. I don't know. They think maybe that it's like you guys are a shark-type person because you're seeking out people to buy this stuff that – maybe they don't need, I'm not sure, but the perception I always used to get, right, was like insurance salesman in general, not just like health insurance, is like it's almost like the car salesman thing, right?
Vibe.
You get a bad vibe.
Yeah.
So what changes that? What makes that different? How do you guys?
I'll let you take it first. Then.
Well, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but obviously we weren't on the cast, so let's break it down. So, from my perspective, right? And so, well, let me back it up a little bit. I went to college, graduated, did all the things you're supposed to do, got that $30,000, $40,000 a year salary in the corporate world and was supposed to be happy that I was working myself to death with no free time whatsoever. And when that company folded, it was probably the best thing that ever happened because then I was like, they got a severance and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go try something. I went to the mortgage business. We were killing it. I was playing golf 3 times a week. We were making money. We were having a good time. And then there was the refi boom, you know, around 2000. And it just shut down. All the regulations came. Everything changed. The refi boom.
Okay, yeah.
So it was around the Y2K and all that. Yeah. Everything. So there was... Have you seen The Big Short and all that?
Oh, like, Big Short is a freaking good movie.
We were doing loans on mobile homes and putting a foundation on it, calling it a home and doing a mortgage and, you know, no docs, no check. We're making 3 points on the front, 5 on the back. You can't do that anymore, but I didn't know any better. I was just doing what they told me to do. Mm-hmm. But we were killing it, and then all of a sudden it all stopped, and I was spending everything I made. I was young. I was, you know, probably a little bit younger than you, and early 20s. Yeah. Fresh out of college. I mean, nothing to tie you down. And I wasn't saving money or making proper investments. And anyway, so the guys that did were able to weather the storm. You know, I had to move on, you know, and do something else. And eventually landed in insurance. But I didn't want to do insurance. And I had a really, really good friend of mine I've grown up with that was like, hey, man, you need to check this out. And I've respected him. I trust him. He's still a phenomenal friend today to Chris and I both, just a really great guy. Right. And he was connected with some other guys that I knew, or I knew that they're brothers or whatever. So the Fort Worth, the west side of Fort Worth is a clique. Like, we all knew each other. I know everybody I went to high school with. That was cool.
Yeah. That was cool. That was cool.
But yeah, well, you got to qualify the statement, but it was, he was like, we're helping people save money on their Medicare. And they're just, there's more people than we can handle. We need people. So you got to get licensed. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, you got to go get licensed. So you have to go get, you know, background check, license, do all this stuff, take the test. And you do all that. And then you really don't use it much, right? They want you to do something else. But we were helping people. I just kind of ran with it. And I didn't even know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid when I started. And my training was minimal. And I won't throw Andrew under the bus, but he trained me the way he was trained, which was like, hey, we're pulling up to an appointment. You might want to look at this information before you go in there. But so we went in there. It was easy. We were able to help them. You just treat people right.
Yeah.
You know, just be honest with them. Here's what I know about your insurance. Here's what you're at. Here's where you could be.
Right.
Do you want me to help you? And they might say no. They might not like you. They might not like the way you look. They may be too broke, too ignorant. Or then most of the time they were like, I had no idea you could do this. Absolutely. Are you sure this is legal? I'm like, absolutely. Like, you deserve it. Like, you're paying $400 a month. You should be paying less than two. Let's fix it. And then when we leave, they're giving me cookies. They're, you know, showing me the pictures of the grandkids.
Right.
I mean, we did this for nearly 10 years on the road in the rural areas, just helping older folks, all Medicare, just nonstop. And it's awesome, but we've evolved since then. And Chris came up on a different side of it, but that's just one aspect of it, right? So I took it as I'm truly going to help these people. They need the help. They don't know that this is available to them. And I'm actually driving out and bringing it to them, which they're kind of lucky we're willing to do that. But, you know, it's help needed. They needed that help, and we provide a service. And then, of course, there's a commission attached to it, but it wasn't about the commission. I was just, as long as I helped enough people, I knew I was going to get paid for it. And of course, it renews, which is a beautiful thing, just like home and auto insurance. Every time a premium comes through, a small portion of that goes to the agent. And the agent could be captive or independent. If you're captive, you have no options. You can only do what the company tells you to do. You have a very small set of options. If you're independent, you have what every company offers at your disposal. So it's up to you to decide what's best. So we have to learn about the client, to find out what their needs are, and actually take the time to talk to them, build a relationship with them, and then make recommendations. So we just solve problems. I don't sell anything. I enroll people in the programs with the benefits that they deserve.
And
it's true. But, I mean, I could sell a bunch of stuff they don't need, and they'd probably do it because they like me and they're happy I was there. You just have to have a personal decision. That's the thing about insurance agents in general. In any profession, some people are just doing, they don't know what they're doing, or they're just trying to make their manager happy.
Or they're just trying to make money, right?
Yeah, and or they just want to make as much money as possible. Right. That was never my goal. I trusted the people that brought me into it, and I just kind of let them kind of lead the way. But I kind of decided, you know, I'm going to do what's right by these folks. And that means telling them, I can't sell you anything today because you're in a better spot than what's available. I'm going to do that. there's a lot of agents that won't do that. So and really, that gives us all a bad
your name. First roadblock then is just getting in, right? Just letting them talk to you in general. But once that happens, it sounds like it's like a no-brainer, you know?
I did have a guy that's in PNC, which is property and casualty. So that's home and auto, right? That's a different side. So we are life and health mostly.
Right.
So those are two different, completely different categories.
Right.
But it all goes to the Texas Department of Insurance. So, you know, it gets, but he was like, how many people on a percentage would you say you can help that are on Medicare? And I was like, I don't know, 80%. He was like, dude, that's amazing. That's insane. The amount of people that you can help. They just don't know. And they get bombarded when they come to Medicare and then they just wind up picking something because they're tired of people.
Dude, it's an afterthought, man. It seems like I'm 26. I'm not there yet, I guess, but yeah. I have life insurance, but that's, you know, it's an afterthought. It's the last thing you think about as far as insurances go. You know what I mean? Home and auto, obviously, being probably the first.
Well, you're forced to buy that.
You're forced to buy that in a way, right?
So, I mean, good for them, I guess.
Well, and the need, too. There's 10,000 seniors that turn 65 every day, and that's going to continue to happen until 2037. That being said, they cannot enroll into a plan unless they go to a direct company. So, really, the only options is to just go with whatever company, regardless of if it's right fit or not.
Right.
So, to get a little detailed, you could live in a zip code that has a lot of sick people, so you may pay a higher rate just because you live where you live. Where with us, we're a broker. We have 150 some companies that we have in our portfolio. We have a unique system that allows for us to plug the client in, and it breaks down from cheapest to most expensive. It breaks down medications. It breaks down everything. So we know this is exactly the right fit. And I was just talking to a huge pharmaceutical company here locally. And when I told him what we did, he said, why have I not known this? And why aren't you in every one of our pharmacies? And why aren't you talking to every one of our clients? This is exactly what we need. So it's such a unique system in a time frame where there's so many people that need our services.
Yeah.
They don't even know it exists.
We've had an episode previously, and I'm like, healthcare system pretty much, those are fuzzy. Healthcare system pretty much needs an overhaul is what I always like to think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, maybe it just needs someone that's willing to go into the weeds and pick the right things.
And it goes down to the wisdom of time. For instance, when I was a captive agent right out of school, I got my license, and we both agreed to the same thing when we got licensed, and that's we're going to do what's right by the client.
Right.
I went and worked for a captive agency, and I won't throw any companies under the bus, but these companies no longer told me what was right by the client. They told me what was right by the company.
Right.
And I took that as truth and just went and did it. Like he mentioned a few seconds ago about he didn't know any different. Well, you're not. You're just doing what the company tells you. So you've totally taken out the whole let's do what's right by the client. That's where the insurance agent gets the bad rap and gets the bad name. They're just doing what their manager's telling them to do. The reason I started Advocate and the reason why we run our businesses the way we do and why we've partnered together, and Andrew's also partnered. He's my partner in this as well, is we want to do it different. So our focus is educating and empowering people through their process, whether it be retirement, whether it be Medicare, whether it be health insurance, whether it be whatever it is. Educating and empowering them so that they can make the decision. So there is never a day, I've never felt like a sales guy in my entire life, except for when I sold books.
Yeah, right. Sounds like you do.
But that was the only time. But my reality is that I have to go out there and I have one shot to get in front of that client and have that opportunity to educate them in a time where they're scared and they don't know what's happening. They're not sure. We even get some CEOs of Fortune 500 companies that say, I can run a huge corporation, but I cannot figure out Medicare. You guys handle all of it.
Yeah.
Because it is so, or healthcare as a whole. So you're right. It needs an overhaul. It needs an overhaul, and it needs something like what we do on a one-on-one basis where we still sit at the kitchen table and have those belly-to-belly conversations.
Yeah. What's sad is the people need what we can provide for them, but we're contracted with all the major insurance carriers, Aetna, Cigna, Blue Cross, you name it, all of them. They're competing against us to get that client to call a 1-800 number. And if they want the business in three ways. I talked to the vice president of Mutual Omaha Sales at a golf tournament, Byron Nelson, in his tent. And he said, listen, ultimately, we don't care how we get the business, but we want them to call us. We want a captive agent to write it. And then if you write it, fine. But we're independent. And so I could recommend something other than Mutual of Omaha if I see that the drug costs are way off or the doctors don't accept it or we know whatever the case is. So, you know, so they don't provide us any benefits whatsoever. We're contracted to sell everything they have, but we have no salary, no health care, no benefits at all.
No obligations.
But we have a contract that allows us to access to all their products, which is legally the way they have to do it. They would rather you call 1-800-AARP and get somebody who maybe doesn't speak very well in some state somewhere and just enroll you in something, and then they count that as business. That's not how we do business. Like, we learn about the client's needs,
right,
and make proper recommendations. It's hard for us to reach everybody that needs the help. I mean, we're blessed, obviously, with the level of business that we do, but
yeah.
I just wish there was more consumer education,
right,
about their rights, because Medicare is not allowed to recommend anything. And so, you know, the people are very confused.
I would say, like, we're in a generation of skeptics, or at least I am, almost of everything. And I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm about to get health insurance. Now, who's going to try to sell me on this, and where are they making their money? Like, almost like you go into a doctor's office and they give you a drug because they get a spiff, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's, like, the same. But I guess you just told me the way independents work, it's not.
Well, yeah. So if we could talk about non-Medicare, we call that under 65, right? So if you're 65 or older, or you've been on disability for 24 months, then you're on Medicare. Your listeners are probably getting a little sleepy at this point, but we'll back off the Medicare. But under 65 is health insurance, and it's the wild, wild west. And Obamacare was not what they said it was going to be. It's difficult. The point I was making is, no matter what agent you go with, no matter what company you go with, there's a commission on that product.
Right.
It could be captive, independent, doesn't matter. The agent has a lot of leeway in what they're going to recommend to you. So you just need to make sure that you're comfortable. Ask questions about them. Interview them as much as they're going to talk to you.
Right.
And you want to know, do they have a lot of companies to choose from, or are they representing one company?
How long have they been in the business?
Because if they have one company, they're going to tell you that's the best product there is.
Of course, they have to. Right?
But you need to make sure that they're doing it by your need and taking it from a needs basis and saying, okay, this is what he needs. This is what he travels. He does this. He does that.
Yeah.
Out of all the companies, I have 10 companies, and this is why I chose this one and this one. That's what you're looking for. So rather than just saying, hey, are you captive or independent, just ask them about the options and how long they've been in the industry, because that will tell you a lot about the longevity.
It doesn't have to be a bad experience, but it can be,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, the whole reason I did this whole healthcare thing, this whole healthcare stick, is because we got censored for talking about the vaccine. But my thing is, it's trying to educate people on just the processes of everything. Like, I called my mom the other day. She runs a clinic, and I was asking her, how does it work for insurance when they actually pay for patients? What's the process like? And she's like, oh, it's super difficult. It's like the worst. We like have to keep track of it, and like 2 months, 3 months go by, and we finally get the payment for this thing that happened. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, all this stuff is like, it's just insane to me. And the insurance will like try not to pay. Obviously, that's the whole point, right? But like, that's where I just get like really like, I just want to find out more, you know?
Yeah.
Learn more about it. You know what I mean?
Well, you're specializing in right now, Jason, the indemnities.
Well, and so Obamacare came and they rammed it through, as Matt could attest, with no bipartisan support
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
You have to pass it before you read it, right?
Yeah. You got to pass it to find out what's in it. NancyPelosiSucks.com, my buddy Stu Bergier, what's up, Glenn Beck?
Shout out.
That's a real website.
Yes.
I'm going to get you guys, I'm gonna get you guys shirts for
that. Nah, I'll reference it on the show notes, might as well.
I hope you don't get censored for that. But
dude, you're good. Dude. You're good.
Not worried about that.
I had a high deductible plan with Humana because I was in the business already. It was like I looked at all the plans and there was tons of options and I picked one and I was like, I'm happy with it. Like I want a high deductible, low premium.
Yeah.
If something happens, I'll pay the deductible. I'm cool with that. But in exchange for a low premium. So everything Obama said was a flat out lie. It's in regards to health insurance for business owners and individuals that
right.
don't have employer sponsored coverage. Mm-hmm. The premiums went up. They actually took my plan from me straight up. So you can't keep your doctor if you want your doctor. All that was just lies, lies, lies. So they.
My wife was 3 months pregnant when that happened. By the way,
the same thing happened to you.
She was 3 months pregnant when we lost our coverage.
Oh, that $10,000 for a baby.
$27,000.
Oh.
Because we had complications with no insurance because they did that as a business owner. So
thank you, Obama.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Holy cow,
that's
dude.
A whole other story.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right in the middle of a pregnancy, we would go in and the doctor's like, your insurance isn't covered.
In the middle
anymore.
Of,
oh my
how
gosh,
are they allowed to
dude.
Take your insurance in the middle of a
3 months
pregnancy?
Pregnant, right? She went to the doctor and they said, there's no more coverage. Yeah. My second child was the most expensive child we've had. 26,000.
Holy cow.
Don't weigh her down with that story.
Oh, I'm not. She's worth every penny.
Yeah. So the indemnity plans were targeted. They said, no, you can't do anything but the essential health benefits. 10 essential. So you had to pay for pregnancy for men, which is very stupid. All kinds of stuff that they threw in there. And then they actually went to the Supreme Court, Manhattan Life, and Galen Hendricks and them. They all got together and they fought it. So anyway, what we're doing for people now is indemnity plans. And so it's just a schedule of benefits. There's a certain amount they're going to pay per procedure. It's not a percentage. It's a dollar amount, and there's a cap. But the premiums are reasonable. They wanted to squash that. They didn't want any competition to the government program. But the problem with the government program, I went ahead and got certified. I was like, if that's going to be the law, I'll get certified and I'll offer it to people that need it. Well, when it launched, the website crashed. The number you call for assistance was not working. And so nobody knew anything. And I called Blue Cross Blue Shield. I was like, hey, man, you guys are on board with this. I've got this client. Like, we don't know. Nobody knew anything. Everything was crashing. It was just a disaster because they didn't get with the insurance companies and the business community and roll this thing out the proper way. On top of that, there's not many doctors that will even accept a marketplace plan. That's what they call it, a marketplace plan.
Right.
Obamacare is a marketplace plan. They don't want it. So, yeah, you can get it. You can get a subsidy if you don't have much money, if you don't have much income. But you can't see any doctors. So, and you can't have a PPO because they don't want you going outside of the HMO network. It's terrible. And it hasn't even gotten better. So I do indemnity. He does Christian Medishare. We all do. We're in the business. And we have to do something different because of the way it's structured.
Right. To get around it, basically.
Yeah.
So I actually applied for Obamacare just to do it. I didn't actually want anything from it. I just wanted to see what would happen, right? Literally all that happens is you have your phone blowing up for like 3 weeks straight because every broker, I guess, is calling you. It's like lawyers.com. It's the same idea. Like, dude, what the heck is going on here? And I used my camera phone, the one I used for my camera. So I'm like, you know what? Because I don't want this on my personal phone. Literally does not stop. I still get calls. I'm like, dude, guys, like, is that it? Is that all I got out of that? It didn't go, hey, here's your plans that work for you. It said, okay, cool, thanks. And then like the website's, you know, okay, that's it. And then I just get phone calls.
I have a cool redirect now that the technology has caught up where I can go into the back end of healthcare.gov and pull the data and send it to you. So just holler at me if you want to see anything, and nobody will have your information. The government won't even know you checked, and it's a redirect. It's Health Sherpa, but I use that. I don't even – healthcare.gov is terrible.
And this isn't like a – this is like a – not a backdoor.
No, no, it's
like
legitimate. The government allowed it. Oh, they dude, said, that's all awesome. Right. They said, hey, if you guys can handle this, then we're gonna share the data with you. And so, you know, the client was already with us, and we had to redirect them to healthcare.gov, and that's when the deal went south
because right, they had healthcare.gov
five-step verifications and no follow-ups. And
right.
Everybody was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
It is, and it's ever changing and no one ever tells you it's changing.
Right.
And that's the one of the reasons why, you know, I think in all intentions it had the chance to possibly be a good thing.
Yeah.
But when they saw the profitability from it, everyone got their hand in it and they realized, wait, we can get them to do this but yet still walk away with more profits.
Right.
Because I mean, I still with a big family, I still paid quite a bit of money for my premiums monthly, to then just be told, sorry, we discontinued your plan, and then 2 weeks later, you got to enroll for a new plan. My plan was still there. They were just discontinuing my plan and then making me go back on, and I lost coverage.
That's crazy.
And there's, yeah. I mean, I in the insurance business, you'd think, oh, you have an advantage on this and understanding it. You don't. It doesn't matter what kind of knowledge you have. It constantly changes. So from the healthcare standpoint, find a good broker that like what Chasen's doing right now is phenomenal because it's a way to still protect yourself, still have some sort of coverage, but maybe not as the traditional coverage as you were thinking before.
Right.
But we were fed a lot of things over the last 30, 40 years that this is what you need. This is what makes you successful. This is what good health insurance looks like. But the reality of it is, doctors were taking advantage of that. That really wasn't what we thought. It was all right. Just us being told something
right.
And us following directions. And we're just, I hate to say it, but we're just the sheep in these experiments that continue to happen.
Yeah. It's similar to that. We were talking about college earlier, you know, a similar idea. Like you're being told this is what you need to do. You know, you need to graduate high school. You go to college.
Yeah, there's a recipe
full stop.
For success.
Recipe for success, right? And then you get a job or whatever. And yeah. Now I think, you know, we're finding these things out that are like, that's not true. And then next thing you know, other things aren't true. So it's just like this weird thing of like 40 years of political and social you know, things you've been taught, now they're starting to come out that maybe it's not all right. Right?
That's very true. And that ties into the tax-free retirement conversation that we kind of had a little bit. I don't know if you want to transition to that, but it goes right along with what you were fed. So if you guys look at the history of IRAs and 401ks and qualified money. Qualified money means that it's qualified to be taxed. So you can put money into it and avoid the taxes now. Okay, so back in the 70s.
Delayed.
But here's the hook. The government was talking about how ways that we can create other assets for ourselves, other spending accounts. And if you look at just the history of what happened after this was created, and I'll touch base on that, you'll see this trend. But back in the 70s, you know, taxes were high. They were at an all-time high. We were building the infrastructure of the major cities, building, you know, paying for the wars, and there was just a high tax bracket. So let's just say it was a 38% tax bracket in the 70s. If you made X amount of money, the goal was, is, hey, we can get these corporations to give a big tax deduction. We can give them to push this on all these employees, and now they're creating a taxable account that we can get access later. Well, we have to give a big push for corporations to set up these qualified accounts. So, and in theory, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and all of us sitting here, took advantage of that, and they had a lot of success with it. Why? Because they avoided those high taxes of today. They put it in the account, and then they said that if you look at a lot of the things, they scripted out, 2016 would be when we hit the all-time low of taxes. And what did every president do from the 70s until 2016? We're going to lower taxes. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to lower taxes. It hit rock bottom in 2016. Okay, so what this whole thing can be, you can reference all of this in Patrick Kelly's book, Tax-Free Retirement. This is not something that I'm making up or just giving you my insight. This was referenced in that book. But it talks about how the biggest thing is all these people did it. And if grandma and grandpa did that, or mom and dad did that and took advantage of that, now they're sitting with a huge account that they've saved up. They got tax-free dollars, or they got taxable dollars in an account, and they're excited about taking it. But what happens is, I've seen people who retired at 2016, it's an all-time low of tax brackets, right? So you went from 38%, now you're down to 18%. That worked. But what happens is today, the new generation, the young generation, all of us, we still have that same mindset.
Yeah.
Let's avoid high taxes, but we're at an all-time low right now for tax, and it's only going to go up until 2037. They're projecting 20 to 30% higher over the next 20 years, and you can't control that variable.
Well, the myth is that when you retire, taxes are going to be lower.
Yes, and that's the myth, because that's what grandma and grandpa did. That's what mom and dad did.
It was the truth
then,
40 years ago. But now it's not.
It's not the
now
truth.
It's exactly the opposite.
So when someone out of college says, I want to get a good job and get a 401k, I'm like, what? Why?
Don't get a 401k, right?
Well, you can. If they're going to give you free dollars, take that to the match. So if they're going to match it at 5%.
Do what they match.
Do what they match.
And then do your own thing in investments.
Do your own thing with the rest.
Dude, my guy. Heck yeah, dude. I'm all over that.
But you got to make sure you're setting it up into accounts that are going to be tax-free income. And there's systems out there that you can take post-tax cash now, invest it, and then take it out tax-free at a later date.
Right.
Because now you've taken out that variable. You've taken out that liability.
Took the government out of
your retirement.
Yeah.
Because I've had conversations with clients that are like, hey, I'm 2 years away from retiring. I've got $100,000 in my 401k.
Whoa.
And I'm like, and these are just simple people out in West Texas that are like, hey, I've got $100,000. It's in a 401k. And then we do the taxes, and I have to show them. Even now, he's like, I'm going to have to work 3 more years to even get close. And that says, and hopefully they don't raise taxes even more by then, because he was at a 12% tax bracket. Now he's at a 24% tax bracket. Jeez. So 24% of $100,000 is out the door before he even starts. Mm-hmm. And now he's got to live on that for the next 10 years with the tax rates going up. So what's that mean for his money? It's half of what he thought it was.
Exactly.
And he couldn't control any of it.
Right.
So what did he lose there? Time. He has to go work longer. Mm-hmm. He has to go do – and it changes everything. So having that understanding of how important wealth will be accumulated with understanding tax laws is the key for our retirement.
Oh, for sure.
I think one more layer on this is in the 70s is when we saw the transition from pensions, company-funded pensions, to the 401ks that Chris is talking about. And the government pushed that, but – pensions were great. People knew they worked. They were going to have this set amount of money for the rest of their lives. And that made them happy. And it got phased out, right? And so everybody said, nope, we're going to put your money in 401ks. And then the interest you earn in the market, that's going to be your pension. Well, what happens when the market goes down? Mm-hmm. You lose.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, you can't do anything except watch it disappear.
What we provide, and the reason that I love partnering with Chris is a self-funded pension. There's no reason. Everybody wants money until they're, you know, the last breath, right? You don't want to run out of cash while you're still alive. That's the worst case scenario, right? If you have a pension, whether you funded it or you set it up or the company did, you need money for as long as you live. And if you stop working and start spending your assets, you're going to run out of money,
right?
Period. You know, but we can solve that problem. And there's many ways we can do it. And I don't know, should we make the announcement?
Yeah.
Advocate Financial Partners, CEO Chris Yokley, Andrew Spain, myself. We haven't inked the deal yet, but we are about to combine American Senior Benefits of North Texas with Advocate Financial Partners Lone Star, and we could be more excited. And we're going to help people on all levels.
You heard it here first, the Toasty Podcast. Dude, let's get toasty to that, guys. Good job, guys. Sure. Good job. Beautiful. So how big are these companies that you're talking about, though? Like this Advocate company is a number of how many people?
It's really more about the – so in our organization, it's not about how many people. It's about how many that work with us. It's about how many people we service.
You could have a few agents that service hundreds of people.
We've got millions. We have million names in our database. Tens of thousands of people that we've serviced over the last – and now merging together, that number is only going to double.
We're powered by American Senior Benefits, which is an integrity company.
Yeah.
And
they're the ones you're partnering with.
We are – so they they're kind of –
well, they're our parent. So in our industry, you can't directly just work with one company. You have to have a field marketing office.
Okay.
Integrity and American Senior Benefits is our parent company.
Okay.
We, as an advocate, and him doing his thing was North Texas American Senior Benefits. We run our own organizations. So what's happening is he's bringing his organization, and we're joining forces to reach more people, more efficient, more effective, and in the mindset of empowering our clients with more information.
Yeah. Actually good things.
And Integrity is the chairman of the board of Integrity Marketing Group out of Dallas is Steve Young, the quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have a limitless amount of cash from what I've seen, but they're awesome. Yeah. They bought American Senior Benefits. That's our parents. We're just thankful that they see our business the same way we do,
is right.
Do the right thing for the client. And that's a special organization. There's many others out there that don't view it that way. We have the leeway to run our businesses the way we want to run them.
Yeah.
And that's taking care of folks. And we have access to every product thanks to them, because they structure the contracts for us and handle all the legal stuff.
But it's back office support is what it is, so that we can go out and see our clients. And they partner with just business owners.
Does that have anything to do with like the state you're in?
Absolutely. You have to be licensed in every state, because there's a Department of Insurance for every state.
Okay.
And they have commissioners and, you know,
so could you run this company in another state? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Oh, like, yeah.
We're
you can do the same
seven,
thing, right?
We're probably seven states.
I don't want to misquote. We're national, but ASB, we call it American Senior Benefits. What were they, 180 million or something like that last year? Like, they're balling. They're getting their way up.
I mean, if we were trying to, like, your goal was to infiltrate this whole system and just make it to where it's like actually for the client again, one day, then they would be like, oh, let's get national.
We're in almost every state.
That's awesome.
Hawaii. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think New York's kind of weird with their regulations, so nobody really
wants to do it. Yeah, it's weird about everything. We just went over the fact that there's like three income taxes in New York.
Yeah.
Once you go under that tunnel and go under across that bridge, you're in a whole new country.
That's insane, dude. Yeah. So let's get back into this. So there's a trend, I guess, going around my age group and a lot of people I talk to, because this podcast, like I said, was an investment podcast a long time ago. And so they're all into this whole, you can invest with life insurance. I want to know more about that. Like, what is that about?
There is a really, really awesome cartoon that I'll reference on advocatefinancialpartners.com. You just go to About Us, and at the bottom there's this cartoon. It's a two-minute video. But what it is if you structure a life insurance policy the correct way, we're all going to spend money on something someday. You're going to buy a car someday. You're going to buy land someday. You're going to buy a house someday. You're going to buy other things. We all know.
Second home, vacation.
Second home, a third home, a ranch.
Yeah.
We are all going to spend money in the future. The key to that is buying that bucket of money today, because as you pay for, and that's using life insurance. And the life insurance is structured in a way correctly, you can access that death benefit.
So you're talking about almost like a source of capital for other things.
One, I'm working with a client right now that puts, you know, six figures a year into his policy. When he goes to buy something, he borrows it from himself off his death
what
benefit.
What the heck?
And he
so
never
you're not
borrows
using
money.
Real estate or anything. You're using your life insurance.
I use my life insurance death benefit to leverage all major purchases that I purchase.
This is insane.
And we
dude.
Teach that by structuring it in a way to where you are buying that bucket of money today, and based on as long as you don't mech it, which just gets confusing, which means as long as you don't overfund it to where it becomes a taxable event, you're able to pull off for the death benefit and use for
holy
anything
cow,
in the future
dude.
Based on how much you put in and how long you've had it. So I have
you
one
just
client.
Like what happens if like you just won't get it when you die, I guess? Is that
it well, if unless I put it back. So okay, I'm borrowing
so
from
back,
myself.
Right?
I'm borrowing from future money, paying myself the interest and taking that rather than by doing it through a bank.
But like if you're buying a house or something, it's an investment anyway. You're buying
you're
an investment with a life insurance.
You're
dude,
doing
this
it
is
now.
Beautiful. This is amazing. I love hearing this. Like I didn't know this existed. And so I had started hearing some tricklings of it and stuff, and I was like, what the heck are they talking about kind of thing? Yeah. This is amazing.
So there's a couple of books, like What Would the Rockefellers Do?
Yeah.
What Do Billionaires Do? If you start educating yourself on it, you'll notice, and there's people that I've talked to that have flat out told me, you wouldn't believe this, and I know they're wealthy. Whole life insurance, dividend paying whole life insurance is a key component of my portfolio. He said, everybody hates it. I love it. And when you dig into it, you know, it survived the Great Depression. It survived all the calamities
yeah,
that we've
yeah.
had. It's just a tool, but it's been around the longest. It's the longest investment tool that we've ever had in this country. Hmm. I mean, and life insurance companies don't go down easily. I mean, few and far between. Banks do. But life insurance companies
banks do.
Don't.
So they get bailouts. So
if you can't beat them, join them, right? So use what they're offering you to your advantage. And there's a lot of ways to
and
do it.
And what are the two things that are certain in life, too? Right?
Death and taxes,
dude.
So that being said, to piggyback on that, because that's a great statement when you're thinking about long term, what's also a guarantee is that you're going to spend money in the future.
Right. Exactly.
So purchase your wealth today. Structure it the right way. And this is where you don't have to, I'm saying this for a reason. Make sure it's structured correctly.
Yeah.
You're not just buying a life insurance that if you die, it gets paid out. You have to structure this in a way. You're not buying term insurance. You're buying a specific type of insurance, structuring it for cash and accumulation while you're still alive, using it for, you know, investment purposes. And you make sure it's structured that way from day one. I mean, I 10 years into mine, I've pulled out $60,000 for a couple of years just to chill and do other things. And I pulled it out of my income off of my death benefit, and then I put it back over the next 3 or 4 years. And we even have big corporations that'll say, "Hey, this is really cool. A business owner can use what's called the 162 bonus plan. It's part of the IRS tax code that says they can write off up to 20% of their revenue if they put it into a key employee retirement plan using IUL. So I have one client that's putting $1 million a year into his IUL, and he's going to pull out like $14 million when he retires. Tax-free.
Dude, Toasty Creations LLC is about to be on that. I'm just saying.
I think I'm about to work for you, Sky.
Dude, let's get that LLC going. Let's make this happen.
Think about it. Any of these other investment vehicles, CDs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 401ks,
yeah,
it's going to get cut in half. When you do the numbers with taxes and everything, it's getting cut in half.
I mean, like, I do my own investments now, but like this.
When we say tax-free, we mean you keep 100% of the money you've earned.
Death benefit cannot be taxed. You're pulling from the death benefit.
Neither can a loan on your own policy. They can't tax a loan because the loan's going to be paid back.
Off of the death benefit. So it's not even interest that you would have paid.
It's a beautiful thing.
Dude. And then you're telling me you don't even have to pay it back. Well, that's what you said anyway. I don't know if it's...
You don't have to pay it back.
This is hilarious.
Because you're borrowing from your future,
dude.
So you'd want to put it back. But let's say hardship hardship happened. You know, something happened where you weren't capable of doing it. You can then put that policy into some sort of structured plan to where you're only putting a small amount in until you're back on your feet. And then you work your way back up to setting that up again for yourself.
But you're not required to make a systematic payments. And if you miss a payment, it's going to ding your credit. You don't need credit to pull money that you own.
Dude, this is crazy, man.
You're taking control of your money from all these institutions and government programs. And you're the boss, and it's been around,
yeah,
well over 100 years.
Apparently, it's existed, right? But like, maybe they're not really gonna shout it from the rooftops. Like, I don't hear CEOs and stuff talking about this stuff or millionaires talking about this stuff.
What's the risk of government crackdown on this?
So any policies that are taken out beforehand will be grandfathered, so they could change the future tax law on this. So
Biden ruins
PelosiSucks.com.
Plugged in.
I don't even know.
I never trusted the Roth, right? So, you know, you're going to pay taxes on the money you earn now.
Yeah.
You put it in the Roth. Dumb. And then when you take it out later, the government's just going to give you a pass. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
But let's just say in a perfect world they did. You're still only limited to, what, $6,000 a year? So for a high income, that, you know, someone who has income that's more than that,
right,
you can't really maximize that. Unless you're a business owner, you're only capped, you're still capped out at $50,000 with a SEP.
So you're still
not taking full control of your own retirement plan. And here's the best part. You don't have to wait till you're 59 or 65 to touch it. You can turn that income on whenever you want. If you want to overfund it right now for the next 10 years for your baby, and you want to make sure at 10 years, you know, she's 10 years old, she understands, you can pull it out, or 18, she wants to go to college, you can use that for whatever you want it to be used for. It's not limited to, or, and you're not,
there's no restrictions.
There's no restrictions. Hmm. You can structure that however you'd like. You can put a bunch of money in first. You can start with $100 a month and just work your way up. You can do whatever fits your budget. But remember, you're buying your wealth today. So invest into that today. So whatever you can do, maximize that. Mm. And then if you hit hardship, you can pull that. Like my daughters, I set it up when they were 4. When my daughter turns 18, she'll be able to start. If she ever comes to me and says, "Dad, I lost my job," or when she's 25 and her husband loses her job or whatever, she can come to me. I'm going to have a $30,000 income that I can turn on at any time for her and say, "Here you go. Just turn this on until you're done. And then when you're done, we'll turn it back off." And you can structure this however you want. But that's the gift I'm passing down to my daughter, leveraging a parachute to protect her family that she has control over that cannot be taxed. And that's the type of gifts that you want to leave to your family.
And to your point about the jeopardy of that getting the government getting their hands on it, I'll just say life insurance companies don't play that game. If they're going to – that's the last institutions that they're going to try to take. Life insurance has been – before the Great Depression, majority of Americans had life insurance policies, whole life policies, and it's shifted. But they're not going to win that battle.
Because the House of Senate
and the
President.
They have more money than the government does, yes, by far. The government doesn't have any money, honestly.
Right, no, they don't. Everyone that works for government apparently has tons of money because they use investments, so whatever.
I'm sure they have participating whole life policies.
It's hilarious, yeah. Like that whole hedge fund thing that happened, the SEC president. Who was it? Not the SEC president. Was it? Security. One of the girl. What's her name? We talked about it. You don't remember this?
Janet Yellen.
She couldn't be a part of the case because she had her hands in it. Mm-hmm. They were literally like, "You can't even do this." And she normally would be the person on that job to figure that crap out, the hedge fund thing with GameStop and all that stuff, you know? But they're like, "No, you can't."
And if you look at a lot of high income earners across the board, doctors, lawyers, chiro, you know, whatever type of profession that you would think as a high income, a lot of them, if you talk to them about tax free retirement or, you know, using dividend paying whole life or IULs, they have them. And they're overfunding the heck out of them because they understand the wealth comes from the tax free income later. And that's the key to the concept, is understanding that tax free chassis that allows for you to take that later. Because later, what are they just talking about, the capital gain taxes and everything? I mean, 10 years from now, I mean, we could all be sitting 10 to 15% higher in a tax bracket, not only just because of income, but just because of the brackets are shifting. Mm-hmm. And you can sleep at night knowing that your money's not going to go anywhere. You got a guaranteed return, and you're not going to have to worry about that tax.
And you won't lose money because the market tanks.
But you're only going to borrow how much you put in, right?
Yeah, you want to purchase.
It's going to earn interest, too.
It's going to earn interest.
Compound.
But when you purchase insurance, aren't you getting like an amount, a big policy or something?
Yeah, so how that works, so if you anticipate having more money later and you want to build a massive bucket for yourself, you can put an increasing rider on there that basically just says as you put more money, it'll buy more insurance that keeps it from mecking. So your bucket's always growing and tax-free money can still come out.
A mech is a modified endowment contract.
So which makes it taxable. This may be like a huge deep dive to get on the podcast, but like honestly later, dude, I just want to talk to you like face-to-face because this is like –
And it does. Awesome. It really is. AdvocateFinancialPartners.com. There's a cartoon at the bottom of the website that breaks this down in a cartoon that talks about the IRS code, talks about how to set it up, how the income. And the best part is if you were to put $10,000 in a savings account today and you passed away, it's worth $10,000, right? The best part about this the best part about this, though, too, is also when you're younger and you're buying your wealth, if you were to pass away, you've just purchased $1 million policy.
Boom.
And it pays out immediately. So your $10,000 investment actually returned $1 million.
That's awesome.
It's also tax-free.
Which is I don't go for the whole savings account shtick. Like, I'm like, dude, why do you have a savings account? That's stupid.
Listen, the government gets
do something with
taxes on income that we earn. That's enough. They don't need to be coming after everything else that we do. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Well, I agree. And I'm all about that, all the tax avoidance I can, not legal tax avoidance I can.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Because, you know, I have like the LLC and everything else. Like, you're like trying to figure out what am I going to do to like avoid everything I can, basically. It's like
the 162 is one way to do that.
That's one thing. Yeah,
legal, then, 100%. I help accountants every day set this up for their clients, just because they're like, hey, we need to maximize their returns. They have an LLC. We need to run this through. How do we do it? 162 works like this.
That's sick.
But I have to be very clear, and this is, we don't talk about anything else today. You have to make sure the person you're working with knows what they're doing and sets it up properly. Because where you're going to educate yourself when you research this, you're going to find that a lot of people didn't have it set up correctly. They bought a bunch of insurance they didn't need. There was no growth there because it wasn't structured the right way. Mm-hmm. And once again, it's about education and empowering. And making sure that if you're telling me your goals is income, we're going to set it up as income. I'm not going to try to set it up as a big death benefit and you go to pull it and there's nothing there.
Does that cartoon explain the kind of structure?
Yes. A little bit, yes.
A little bit?
100%. Okay. Yeah, but there's a way.
I know
way,
it's complicated, but like.
It's really not. You just have to make sure you know that this is for an income basis. We're not doing this for insurance purposes.
Okay, got you. Right.
And
that's so funny to me, dude. Not insurance purposes.
Yeah, it's a part of the process. And it's back to 2008. Obama actually said it. It was really good of him to identify it. He said, why do all the major cities, the largest buildings in every major city, why are they all insurance companies? Because there's no real laws in place to protect the consumer. It's in favor of the insurance company. The statistics are insane when you look at what actually pays out compared to what's received. And it's just ridiculous. So he put regulations and modifications to how insurance is done. And at that point, it was always there, this concept. But at that point, it really went in favor of the consumer, the tax laws and everything. So it's just.
So that's like a positive that came from
Obama. It's positive. Yeah, there's the positive.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay. We have a positive on the show about Obama,
dude. We do.
I learned something new today.
Yeah, that's. but that's the reality of that's when we saw. So in 2002, I mean, here's the cool part, though. You can even get it to where banks are taking part of this now. And you can actually, if you have a net worth of $5 million or more, I can take it to a bank. I can get them to premium finance that policy. So for you and your wife, let's say, you're worth $5 million in assets and you don't want to pay any premiums.
Wish, dude.
You'll
get there.
Yeah. You'll get there. Heck, you're just not there yet.
Thanks, we'll
get
man.
You. Purchase
that.
Your wealth today.
I appreciate that. Yeah, there you go.
but the bank will actually pay the premiums and take half the death benefit. So they say, you're worth $5 million. We'll use you as collateral. The bank pays the $20 million or say $2 million premium every year.
Right.
You'll get $10 million. If you die, they'll get $10 million. And they premium finance and pay for the whole thing. Banks see that as a huge opportunity too, because the banks are looking at the same thing we're looking at.
This is just wow, man. I love it. So absolutely love it. You know, I wasn't trying to make this like an awesome investment podcast, but dude, that was sick, and I love that.
Healthcare sucks. Let's talk about tax-free retirement.
Yeah, right. There you go, dude. Yeah, we got the boring stuff out of the way, and then you hit it in. You know.
Yeah, that's why you got to watch the whole podcast, because you just watch the first half. It's like, oh well. And then you watch the whole thing. You're like,
well, see, I'm gonna be that's rich. Why TikTok's blowing up, dude. I put like minute clips. You can only put a minute on there. And when I put it up there, it's like I get the snippets that are good, right? Juicy. They want that. You know?
Speaking of that's which, happens, I was watching YouTube because I don't do TikTok, but they have like these YouTube shorts, right? And there's this one guy that was like, well, since President Biden thinks that, Second Amendment, First Amendment are kind of. What did he say? They were
not permanent, not absolute.
Yeah, they're not absolute. Why isn't the 16th Amendment not absolute? That's the one that allows for the government to collect income tax.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So why can't we just kind of waive that one on a few things?
Or, yeah, income taxes,
ignore
man.
Ignore it or, I think we should abolish it. Yeah, that's just me.
We've talked about that too. We talked about abolish IRS. But yeah, income taxes, dude.
I'm with Ted Cruz on this one. It should be on a postcard, like, you know.
I'm down for the flat tax. Everybody pays a fair share.
Yeah.
Let's call it 10%. Everybody pays.
Done.
I'm cool with that. I like 10 a lot better than 38.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you say that to someone that – this is going to sound terrible. When you say that to someone that makes $60,000 or less, they think that you are going to be taking more money from them. Mm-hmm.
But, it's the same percentage.
Right, correct. But they don't see, like, they don't think that way, I guess. And unfortunately, that might be a fault, but that's what happens. Because I've had that discussion with people where I'm like, yeah, I think we should just do like 15% all across the board, something like that. And they're like, you can't do that. What if someone makes 36 grand? They'll
ruined.
Pay less. Like, what? Yeah, they don't. I don't think they. Yeah, they don't. I'm like, the math. Dude, what the heck?
Do
yeah.
the math.
It's 15%.
So on their phone, there's this thing called a calculator.
Right. They'll still pay less. It'll be progressive-ish. It's and just one flat percentage.
And we're all going to pray for 15% in the next 10 years.
We're going to pray for that. According to what you just told me, yeah, that's insane.
The cycle of where they're headed. And it's funny, even like the Obamacare, if you look at the bill, and you can research this, it talks about how in the last few pages, it talks about how the bill mentions how this is going to get paid for. And it references qualified assets and how much is in that qualified asset account. And if you look at all the bills passed in the last 20, 30 years, they reference the qualified bucket of money that's going to be used. So it really became trillions of dollars in people's retirement plans that they're using as their personal spending account, as long as they increase by 0.5% based on so many years. And that's going to trickle until 2037.
And that's something that was like, wasn't that like outlawed for banks to do? Like banks can't take all your money and use it like that?
Yep. And here's the best part.
SEC did that. They're like, you can't do that.
And then they added a law that says that at 70, if you haven't touched your money because you're trying to avoid it, now it's 72. It's called the required minimum distribution. If you decided you didn't need that money, you're just going to let it sit there to avoid the taxes, you're forced to take it out every year at a certain percentage.
Yep.
And the equation eliminates that by the time you're 94. And you're forced to take it out or you pay a penalty. So it's a forced distribution.
The government, you're just making it so clear to me, dude. Don't get a 401k. Listeners out there, don't get a 401k. Yeah. You don't need
up to
that.
The match.
Just match it with your company. Stop. And then do your own investments. Do your own research.
Yes.
I've always said that, of course, whenever I first started this whole thing, but like, wow.
Yeah. Crazy, it's eye-opening. And when you see it in action and you see how this works, it's really inspiring.
You're just using the tools that are available to further your wealth for your children and your children's children and the generations to come.
Yeah.
You know, but the government's going to get their taxes. And so if you're playing their game, they're going to win.
Mm-hmm. But they give you
been to a casino, they usually win.
They give you advantages for doing certain things. If you're a business owner, you get to take advantage of those things.
Well, I think really they give themselves advantages that exist. And then they kind of like push the mainstream narrative.
Well, because they have to be there, right? This loophole has to be there for them.
And it's
so
lobbyists.
It there.
I mean, if we eliminate lobbyists in this country, we basically eliminate that whole.
Yeah. I mean, check it out. Chris was saying, there's 10,000 people a day turning 65. Well, the majority of the wealth in this country right now is the boomers.
65 and
older, yeah. I don't know how many trillions of dollars of disposable income
16
they have.
$16 trillion.
They are sitting on.
$16
trillion.
They control
$16
trillion. Guess what? That's most of that's
doing so well.
401ks that is to be taxed as soon as they turn 72 and a half. So the government's like, come on, baby. We're going to get a large cut of that.
Yeah.
They set it up that way. The game was rigged that way. And then they're going to raise the taxes.
Yeah,
when you're older, be like, oh,
but it's also going to get passed down. So they also changed the law last year. This is all part of the tax law changes, which you may have already known this, and I don't know if this is boring or not, but to me, it's exciting.
Political podcast. This is sick. Yeah.
Okay, because what happened is if just say your mom and dad left you their 401k, they retired and left you their qualified account, you would then just have to pay the RMD every year immediately, and you could do that for the rest of your life.
What is the RMD?
Required minimum distribution. Okay. The forced distribution that they make you take every year that's
up a little bit every year,
right. So that money is taxed by the time you're a certain age. They stop
it's to
that.
Liquidate your account
now if they pass
your will.
Right.
Now they've stopped that and said you could. Now it's spread out over a 10-year period. So if your family leaves you $1 million, you used to be able to take that and spread out over a lifetime, and not have to touch it unless you needed it, and only pay taxes if you touched it or the forced amount. Mm-hmm. Now they spread that out and say it must be at zero in 10 years from the time you receive.
They need
it.
Their money now,
so they want their money
taxes
now.
They want the taxes now.
Within a 10-year period, but that could really hurt somebody. I know it sounds crazy that getting a big lump sum of money could hurt you. But if you're a working person that's out there working every day, changes your tax bracket, you make less per week. I mean, it could really drastically change your situation. Or if you're in a situation where you're on Medicare and Medicaid, or if you're on Medicare and you have like some assistance for disability,
yeah,
you could force yourself in a position to where
I have a guy I knew that I didn't go to college actually, but I went. I hung out at this college all the time because my friends went to that college, right? That's kind of how it went.
You went. So you went there.
No, I didn't go. I went for
you
the
went
social,
there all the time.
The
learned as much
department,
as they
right?
did.
Yeah, right. No, he told me one of the biggest problems he had was getting an inheritance because his parents both like passed away in a car. It was a tragic story, but he got a lot of money. I think it was in the millions or whatever. But he's like, and it was at that time, it was still going to be paid over a lifetime.
Yeah.
But he's like, dude, it wrecked me because the income changes dramatically, and he's getting out of college having to pay insane taxes.
Yeah. So we have a situation where people pay all the tax now, put it in.
Is there no way around that part of it?
There is. You have to pay the taxes.
Money laundering? Like, what are we doing? You know?
Well,
like,
you could use tax return.
I'm super down.
So you take the RMD, the required minimum distribution, and you pay the taxes the government wants, and then you funnel, if you don't need it, you funnel it into another life insurance policy.
For income.
And then you're maximum, you're multiplying that too.
You're purchasing. Accumulate that. Rockefeller.
Dude. Guess what?
Oh.
That's tax free.
That's so, how their wealth has lasted longer than any other
Allianz, Allianz, has one that's designed that way. You say, hey man, I don't need this 401k. We roll it into the annuity, and then we take the RMDs and we roll that into another life insurance. Their kids and their kids' kids and their kids' kids are set.
And you're doubling the net worth day one.
And it's tax-free. It's just using what's available, man. But people just don't know.
So, and like he was saying, he's doubling that net worth at that point. Absolutely. So your friend could have doubled his net worth.
Because he didn't know.
Bought that legacy. Right, he didn't know. But just in that scenario, you're purchasing your wealth at that point.
Well, I think he makes like $200,000 a year now. He's an engineer. So I think he did something. Yeah, I think he'll be all right. But like at that very short spurt where he didn't have an engineer job and wasn't making a ton of money, it was already like wrecking him. But now I think he's figuring some stuff out.
So well, I mean, he's still, if he needs to protect himself.
But now, I'm not going to tell you he shouldn't do this at all. Sure. Everyone should be doing this. This is like seems like a no-brainer to me. Yeah. Even if you have $100 a month, it doesn't matter. Just do something.
Yeah, we have guys that are right out of college started at $100 a month. But they say if you start putting aside at 18, $50 a month at age 18, by the time you're 49, you'll have $1 million in an account with just 1% interest. However, every year you wait to do that, that number doubles to get to that same number. So every year you wait to 18, to 19, to 20. Mm-hmm. So just – and you want to try to chase that bigger interest rate, right? But if you have to – chase that interest rate to get to that number, then you have to talk about increasing that number of how much money you put into it monthly in order to get there. So I always tell people the younger you can start, the better. But that doesn't mean if you're 25, you've missed the boat. That doesn't mean if you're 35, you've missed your opportunity. That doesn't mean if you're 50, you've missed the boat. I've had 50-year-olds that come to me and say, I've got 15 years. I've got to do something. Well, it's going to cost, this is the number you want to hit. It's going to cost $2,000 a month, but you're going to buy your wealth now and you're going to end up with a $60,000 income when you retire, tax-free. Okay, I'm all in. Now imagine if you would have started younger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the mindset is that time is the investment piece and you take out the liability of taxes and market volatility. Now you're in a position to where you're at your number and you've gotten to your retirement.
Now you know why I'm partnering up with this cat.
Dude.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is cool.
It's very cool, especially when you sit down and take it as from your perspective, like planning for a kid, mm-hmm. you know, planning for a wife.
Is that what got you excited in this? That right there? Literally the tax-free part of it?
The understanding the value of what creates wealth and what takes away from wealth is what excites me.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole idea behind, I can work hard. Well, you're going to have to work really hard if you're trading time for money.
Dude.
It's not bad, mm-hmm. but you need another way. You need many buckets of assets. Many
a day job is not going to get you the $1 million+ freaking income.
You can't
save
your way to wealth.
No, there's not enough hours in the day to get you to where you want to be.
Except for
if you take it and you spread it out and you use all those things in one manner to get you to that destination.
Right.
So it's having a clear and precise understanding of what happens when I do get there. How do I maximize it? And what's the best way to get it tax-free? You know, how am I going to receive it? Because we see the worst parts where people didn't do that. And now they're in a spot where they don't have the time. They don't have the needs. And we kind of call that the welcome to Walmart plan. Because I can't tell you, if you look around at every McDonald's, if you look at the workforce of McDonald's, Walmart, all these other, you know, whatever, Albertsons, they're 65 and older. Their plan was not to work at Walmart. A lot of them, unfortunately, were in a position to where their husband or their wife got sick. They invested everything they could to help the husband or wife get better. They end up passing away and they're left with nothing. And now they have to go back to work. Another cool part about what we're talking about, those tax-free retirement plans can have built-in long-term care protection. It can also have that legacy you can leave behind. So there's a lot of chronic illness protection in there as well. So if you're hurt at work and you can't work, you can pull that as income. You can create these things to be a really cool vehicle that can be used for a lot of different things. But we got to get out there and have conversations. We got to have people know what it is,
right.
How to do it, and who do you talk to? Who do you ask?
This is it right here, man.
Let's put it out there right now. Yeah, Medicare does not pay for long-term care.
Or
never has.
A burial.
Never will.
Okay. Or a burial, yeah.
Or a burial. So people have a misconception. And Medicare is not 100% coverage either.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to have a lot of money. You have to have the ability to go out and educate yourself and figure out what works for you.
Even a small pension that you create for yourself is better than running out of money.
You know what the average Social Security check is in America?
What, $900, $800?
$1,100 is the average.
I was going to guess
a month. Wow. So how much is that per year?
That's
how much is that
per year? My granddad 12, likes to say it pays for cigars 12, and whiskey.
Yeah, 12,000, 1,200.
So just say 13,000. Okay, so they work their whole lives.
That's as far as I probably not anymore.
I've seen how many cigars he smokes. There's no way it pays for that.
Yeah, so somebody will work their whole life for a Social Security check of 13,000 a year. But the reality of it is if you could set aside $50 to $100 a month, regardless of what age you are, and you give yourself at least 10 years of doing that, you could almost generate $16,000 a year,
tax-free,
which is double your Social Security check. That's how much of an impact. It doesn't have to be big numbers. So imagine the power of that with someone that's 35, 40, 45, 25, 20, 19. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That value goes up the younger you are, obviously, because you have more time to do it.
Yeah.
Statistically, someone older doesn't have as much time to make that up. So it doesn't
a little bit more in it.
It doesn't it's have to be. I don't have that kind of money.
Is that why you see, like, whenever you work for a company, they're like, your life insurance plan costs you 50 cents?
It's a group. It's an aggregate group. Okay. So they're only insuring you because you're part of that group.
Right.
And so you actually, if you're younger, you're paying a little bit more because the older ones are bringing the rate down. But when you leave that job, you don't have that insurance
anymore. And there's no flexibility on borrowing that cash while you're still alive. You can't.
You need something that you own. That's just you need to be the owner of your policy. And if you get one cheap through your company, great, dude, take it. But you need something you own.
It's not
with
the owner.
That's their policy.
Right. We're trying to do the same things, obviously.
Yeah.
That's buying your legacy. I'm talking about protecting when you retire and every day is Saturday, where's your money coming from?
Right.
That's the reality. Yeah. That's the reality of what.
Well, this is actually a vehicle. That other stuff is just protection.
It's protection.
Take it. I mean, it's cheap.
It's cheap.
Yeah. Take it. The group stuff is just only while you're there. But a lot of people don't realize that.
That's what group one was, right? It was like 50 cents or something, some crap every paycheck or some crap like that. Obviously, I don't have it now. But.
I mean, it's a transfer of risk. That's what insurance is.
You're good? That's fine.
When you're young, it's cheap.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more risk you have, and the more they're going to charge you, right? So the longer you wait, the more you're going to have to pay, but it's still there.
Yeah, and that when you're talking about company stuff, anytime they're offering you something that's free money, take advantage of it. Take advantage of the group. Take advantage of the 401k matching. Take advantage of all that.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that that's not your end all get to where you want to be at.
Right.
You got to look past that and say, okay, this is great that you're doing this and I'm going to get, match 5 for 5, 5%, get 5% or 2%, whatever it is. But make sure you're doing something else and creating another asset for yourself.
Mm-hmm. You have multiple forms of income when you retire.
Yeah.
I posted a picture of myself with Lions Not Sheep. You guys have seen that movement, the Lions Not Sheep movement.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I've seen a few decals and stuff on trucks and stuff, of course,
Yeah, I just have the hat, and I just did it just because I refuse to just be a sheep. I'm going to educate myself and be strong.
Exactly.
You actually backed me up on that, actually. I think you saw that, bro. And I got attacked at every level about I'm a sheep, and I'm like, first off, who starts with that?
Who
put your mask on? Put your mask on before you talk to me.
Are you a beta male, or like, what are you gonna
say with that? Like, what is that? I'm a sheep. No, it's not. It's so. I think it's funny how defensive everyone
Facebook
has
is. Old people's sheep and Karens.
Karens for sure.
You
see, and that's what. Okay, so that impresses me honestly because like, I don't really know how much in the public eye you are, but being a CEO, just obviously in general, that puts an image in my mind, right?
It does. It's but the good. Cool part is I own the company too, though, so I'm allowed to have a little bit more freedom to that.
Right.
I'm not a hired position.
Right.
I'm an invested owner of the organization. So
you're not going to get the chopping block tomorrow.
No, and a lot
of
my clients, mm-hmm. I will tell you, that's one of the main reasons why I moved into Texas, though, because growing up in a state that is so blue and growing up in a city like Chicago, I feel like this was the first election I actually voted. Ever. Even though I voted every year, I knew it never mattered living in Illinois.
It was just a foregone conclusion.
You're just going to get over.
There was no point.
Washed out.
So moving here was the first time I was, being part of that election was kind of a cool, at 39 years old moment.
Right.
To say I took part in an election that kept Texas red.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we're getting, rigged, but it's cool.
MAGA.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure we keep importing conservatives and not.
I don't think we're importing conservatives, unfortunately. I think they're crossing the border.
Yeah, that's the thing is they gotta really change the vote.
Have you seen the whole like people crossing the border now are in worse position anyway than when they when Trump. Like it's like Biden's literally doing the whole kid cage or whatever the heck you want to call it.
Oh yeah, tens of thousands are like, of kids are in cages as opposed to just like a couple thousand.
Right.
I mean, it's way worse.
Yeah.
I mean, think that's what's going to happen. You're going to overwhelm the system and you basically invite them over and then don't enforce any laws.
Right.
You know.
What was that question you were going to ask before I rudely just cut you off?
Oh man.
I knew that would happen. I'm sorry, dude. Every time.
Nancy Pelosi.
Okay. Oh, you have it. You know it.
Couple questions.
Oh, heck yeah. Let's
couple questions. Okay. So, first is about insurance. When they say they want to open up buying insurance across state lines, what does that mean exactly? Is it, would there be like a federal agency or a federal bureaucracy that would govern insurance as opposed to state regulations, or would there just be way less regulations across the board?
My first thought is it's a bad idea. Every state has the sovereignty and the authority to run the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically that's just another power grab by the government to seize control on every state.
Like HR1.
And some of that's a little bit
exactly
of
like HR1.
HR1, dude. Voting. We talked about that the last, like on our live, mm-hmm. one of our live episodes. It was insane.
It's a disaster. I mean, the federal government doesn't need to be the end all be all of everything. I mean, there's a reason we have 50 states, not 51. There's a reason we have the 50 that we have. Or right?
Heaven forbid 52 if they do Puerto Rico too.
Yeah.
I'm not as concerned about Puerto Rico as I am about Washington, Douglas, Commonwealth or whatever they want to, and that's what they want to name it.
Uh-huh. Is that what they're naming
it? The state of Washington, Douglas, whatever.
So it can stay Washington, D.C.
So there'll be a Washington and another Washington. I don't know. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was against packing the Supreme Court. Has anybody said that? No. They're all for it now. When she died, they thought she was a martyr and she was the greatest thing ever, but she was a liberal and she was totally against
Because she was in the Supreme Court. Honestly,
she saw the fallacy of the idea.
Yeah, it would ruin the legitimacy of the court.
Yeah, even she gets, oh my gosh, Supreme Court, like the whole thing, they're supposed to be like some higher power that tells us what's right and wrong at the end of the day with bias or without bias.
They won't even jump into controversial subjects anymore.
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing is like, with the whole riot thing and everything, they were like, no, we're not going to touch this.
Election fraud. They want nothing to do with it.
Riots. They're like, oh, we're not doing that. It's not good because I think that we're leading to 10 years down the road. We're going to have some crazy societal shift. That's all I'm saying.
It's already happening, right?
It's already happening.
Matt, did you listen to Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and Marsha Blackburn today in the announcement? They were in front of the Supreme Court at the steps outside, and they were talking against packing the court. Mm-hmm. And it was like, when Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, the first thing he did was get rid of, they had an independent court. They got rid of it. Every dictator gets rid of that court because it's impartial. Yep. Supposedly, so they got to get rid of that first. So the Democrats or whoever, the crazy lefties, that's what they're doing. They're trying to turn this into a one-party system, a communist-style dictatorship. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody in my sphere of influence that wants to live under that. Not one person.
Yeah, and if you if you ask anyone, even a liberal, you're like, do you want to live under a dictatorship? They're going to say no. Why would they say yes?
So how does this occur?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's a matter of like this long trend of being able to control a society.
Like, it's power.
I think this has to go all the way. We're going all the way back to me. I think CIA is what started this whole thing. Not saying they started this specific. I'm just saying when they came out.
When they
started dabbling with, let's throw this commercial out there and see what society does. Next thing you know, you will have a society you can control. And whoever knows about that type of thing will use it for their wicked ways or whatever. AKA now we're dealing with Democrats because they're going to do it that way.
What better show of force than to make everybody put a mask on? Mm-hmm. Even healthy people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And people, maybe they all agree that MK Ultra was a thing, but then they don't want to see it they don't want to see what's...
And I think the government kind of perpetuates this, but a lot of people take, when you say MK Ultra, a lot of people go, oh, that's just like when they gave people LSD and they gave people all these crazy adrenaline shots and stuff. And
was that in the 60s?
It was in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
It was a 30-year thing. It was a big deal. Yeah,
it went on for decades, and it was people that were unwilling, unwitting, and some people committed suicide because they were dosed with, you know, 25 doses of LSD, and they jumped out of a window. You know, stuff like that happened. Two CIA agents.
I could see that.
It was, and of course, it was agents that were doing this.
But they want to perpetuate that narrative because they actually did learn a lot from MKUltra when it comes to subliminal messaging, like wearing a mask. That's kind of like a subliminal message to follow the directive and to get rid of your like literally 3/4 of your facial features and become uniform. You know, with a little bit of expression, you've got like a tie-dye mask or whatever, you're allowed to have that much expression, but you're not allowed to just have your face out in the open. And I think that's I think that's the biggest indicator to me that there is a fascist rule coming down from the federal level. There's a reason Fauci is the highest paid person that works for the federal government. He's paid more than the president of the United States.
So you're right.
Yeah.
416,000 versus 400,000.
Yeah. And there's a reason everybody that's in the federal government still has to wear a mask because even though they've been vaccinated, because they have to perpetuate that narrative that you're not going to be safe without this. And if they can threaten someone's safety, that's the core of everything they are. That's why climate change is now a crisis that has to do with your safety. And if they can, like I said, if they can go after your safety, make you feel threatened, you'll give up anything. You'll give up anything.
For all it takes is these events, right? And so I don't necessarily say that COVID was planned. Obviously, I don't think that in a way, but I think that we've already established this. China created it in a lab, and I think it was taken advantage of, that it got leaked out or whatever you want to say, right? Definitely was taken advantage of. But the thing is that these events in our, like, in our society is what ends up causing these big changes. Wars, 9/11, that type of thing. And it's always based on your safety is this, so let's do this instead to save you.
Let's invade Afghanistan, although Russia has been there for 15, 20 years.
Right.
And what did we do? 15, 20 years.
What did they change? Right. Nothing. What did we change?
Nothing. You've got this military complex to make money, military industrial complex, and that like fuels the fire.
And what's crazy is like, to just to put a historical context on all of this, it all happened in the 20th century. Like, it started with Woodrow Wilson and the League of Nations becoming a kind of like a globalist.
This guy's a freaking history enterprise, dude. He's amazing.
I'm just soaking it in.
And that's the way I was with you talking about.
He's the first political science major that I've met that actually knows political science.
I soaked it all up in college. I was the quiet kid, just writing everything down.
Everyone wants to blame it on English degrees. Like, it's the same thing. You don't have anything from it. Nah, he's got it.
So it starts with Woodrow Wilson, and then I think and then FDR as well was definitely on that side, wanting to join the UN, even, you know, befriending Stalin. And then it goes into like JFK warning us about secret societies before and during his presidency. Then he gets assassinated, and that's a whole other podcast. Actually, we did it on the JFK. I think it was CIA for sure. And possibly Cubans as well. But going forward, and then Eisenhower in his farewell address warns us about the military-industrial complex. And he is a general. Like, he knew it from the beginning. He went from being a corporal after, I think, West Point to being all the way up to five-star general, and then obviously being commander-in-chief. And I think once Eisenhower left and JFK was assassinated, that was really the end of America as it was, and then that was really, I think, the truly beginning of the decline of the country.
The two big people that were fighting for us, and it has been a long process.
And we've had a couple presidents fight it. We've had Ronald Reagan really fight hard to bring back the greatness of this country, and we've had, to a lesser extent, the Bushes, but they were really managing a decline more than anything.
Right.
And then I think President Trump he's an absolute American hero, in my opinion. Gave up billions in wealth and almost a playboy lifestyle be ridiculed and maligned for the rest of his life.
He was a millionaire that everyone wanted to be and everyone rapped about. Yeah. And he was in rap videos.
He was the coolest
guy that everyone hated.
This guy, billionaire.
Yep.
Billions.
Yeah. And now it's like, if you look at, if you look at the history of the United Kingdom and their decline in the 19th and 20th century, if you look at a map of the UK, the sun never set on the United Kingdom ever. Like, they owned a third of the world. They owned, I think it was, they ruled over a sixth of the global population at one point, was the United Kingdom. And now it's just that island, just Great Britain and Ireland. That's it. They have a few, like, commonwealths, like Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, but they're not ruled by, they have their own parliamentary. And
so you're thinking we're going to be in decline?
Are you saying we're going to fail and just break up?
If you look at what they are going through and what we're going through.
Yeah, Texas forever. We already know we're going to be freaking good. Like,
our federal government is too strong, and our bond as a nation is pretty strong. But if we keep going from conservatives in California moving to Texas, and then Texas Democrats localizing in Austin, you'll see Austin become a city state. Mm-hmm. You'll see Texas break up into five states, which is in our Constitution and our agreement. And our agreement with the United States.
It has to be. Okay, if we do it, we can do that. We can make that happen. The only thing is, to secede completely from the Union, we also have to get a constitutional amendment, pretty much.
Yeah.
That has to happen.
Yeah.
And the rest of the country has to agree.
For us to secede, we have to have a constitutional amendment, and I'll have to go through the Supreme Court.
We can break up into states at any point.
Yeah, that's part of our agreement with forming the Union.
That would give us more senators. Joining the Union.
So let's just say well, Austin.
Like, yeah, it would actually. Yeah. So that's probably Republicans' plan B. If Puerto Rico and Washington D.C. becomes a state, then we'll go. Ooh. Yeah, we're going to have four Republican states and the one city state. So we'll have Austin.
Will be liberal. I was about to say Austin's the one that gets
San Antonio and Austin are together, and then the rest will be like
somehow you got to get Houston in there, but like
Houston will prevail. They're sick of the crap.
You think so?
Yes.
I have met some people from Houston, like all different backgrounds, and they seem like they're pretty sick of it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, it's,
I can see that.
I just don't understand why people want to tear down this country. Like,
I don't think they know they're doing that. So you have to understand their perspective, right? No, so like,
or they think the country really is racist and evil.
They're being brainwashed into that.
You can't. There's no way for you.
Past, but,
it comes from China. It all comes from China.
You're talking about this perception they're put on them. This is literally the MK. This is literally the subliminal messaging stuff, right? So like that mask thing might not be extreme, and it's an extreme thing to say that, oh, that's going to lead to a fascist country, and everyone that is against that will tell you, why the heck do you think that masks are not that big of a deal? Just wear a freaking mask.
It's compliance.
Like, dude, you have to understand these these things add up, just like investments, like all this stuff. Absolutely. It all adds up.
It's a long play.
Yes, yeah. it's the very long play.
It's companies putting up signs on their windows that says, no,
black-owned business.
No, I was going to say, no, Juden.
What?
Or Juden. Jews.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the same thing.
That's happening?
No.
Oh, that happened. That happened. I was like, wait, hold on.
In the 30s and 40s Germany, that was happening. You had to put a sign on your window if you were a Jewish company, or if you did not allow most businesses, because of pressure from the Nazi Party, did not allow Jews in their stores.
Right. It's a reverse psychology.
And now you'll see, I saw a picture that said, we support the black community. It was some bank or something, and all the windows were just smashed. ACAB was written on the walls. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you mean they didn't bypass that one when they were looting?
Yeah. Oh, no, not that one.
Yeah, they don't.
And it's the segregation or the differences of opinions that they're getting us to separate from. So really, it's, you know, I have family members that I've just said, okay, we don't see life the same way.
Right.
And it's funny, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember as a kid, and I know you do too, is when our dads and grandpas would be like, be careful, don't talk to them, they're a Democrat. And I remember thinking, like, what's the big deal? Like, because we were in a peaceful time of not a lot of us were seeing things differently. And I'd say from my being 15 years old till, you know, 3 years ago, I didn't really fully understand that. Now I totally get it.
So,
but that separation and that the differences in how it's defined your circle.
Well, I think used to it actually wasn't a big difference at all. Yeah. I think used to it wasn't a thing, right? But we're talking about this whole it gains on you, and I think we're.
I think it used to be a respectful difference of opinions, and it was all good at the end of the day, right? You're still at the barbecue together. You're still hanging out. Mm-hmm. Now,
It's in your face.
The George Floyd prosecution did not bring up race in their argument.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They never brought up race in their argument. Now, the guy is guilty, and he got punishment, you know, whatever. The first thing President Biden says is systemic racism. The prosecution did not even bring up racism
right
in their whole case. This systemic racism is the key. They're trying it's to keep us divided.
Right. Yeah, did so the that FBI...
we
hate to,
because it, we, I don't hate anybody on the basis of the way they look, period. I mean, yeah. Now, if you do me wrong, I'm not going to like you.
It's a character thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It got everything's content based on of your character, not the color of your skin. Martin right. Luther King Jr., I mean, but they don't want to talk about that.
Right.
But it's the whole plan right now is, you know, wear your mask. Everybody's racist. That's why we have a horrible country. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't right. see it in my day-to-day life.
But they have a platform to continue to push it using social media.
But they push it, so I hear so, it. Mm-hmm.
And you hear it, you see it.
You're saying you haven't met somebody. You haven't talked to anybody that really believes that way.
I grew up playing sports. Like, Chris, I wasn't as good as Chris. Nobody offered me a scholarship. But I played. And black, white, brown, we tried to win. Like, those are my right. brothers. I could care less. I mean,
yeah.
Right. If you helped us win, I'm hugging you. Like, we are celebrating when we do win.
Well, I'm
lots
gonna say,
of
I'm
black
say,
guys, I could care less.
Yeah. The main reason you're not going to see it is going to be because that market they're targeting is lower income bracket.
Yeah. Full well, yeah. stop. Well, I mean, like prison populations, they go like they all segregate by color.
Right.
Because that's all they got.
So at the end of the day, I mean, like, if we don't go hang out in a low income place, I guess you could say, or whatever you want to call it, then we're not going to see the people that believe that type of stuff. But that's also another argument for, like, maybe, like, why would that cause a change for the country then?
They're how pushing big it. Of a, they're pushing
how
it
big
from
of a
the
percentage
pulpit
of people
every,
is that,
every,
right?
Or from the podium every day. You got the president saying Jim Crow this, Jim Crow that. He doesn't even right. know what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
You know, that was a completely different
yeah, he thinks
situation.
He's placating to his base, but really he's not. He's really brainwashing people because all those people are just so suggestible. They're just very suggestible.
They hate Trump.
And exactly. And they're fueled by
yeah,
anger. Whether it's anger that whether it's faux outrage or just like because of their economic status, they're angry people, you know, and they've got to express that anger because it's got to be somebody else's fault. You know, people can't accept faults anymore. They can't cope anymore. That's why shootings have gone up and up and up, because people can't cope, especially with the internet bombarding you with negativity all the time. It's hard to avoid. I lost my train of thought, but I was gonna say
MAGA.
Yeah, I think
answer is always MAGA.
That's right.
Not always, but right now.
Yeah. I'll think of it here in a second. Yeah, I lost it for a second.
All right.
It happens.
Nice.
It happens.
It does happen. I'm good.
Short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
Dude, he'll be going and then, oh no. But like, it's whatever.
It's all right.
It really happens, so there we go.
I don't believe the systemic racism. That's where I'm at.
Well,
I'm
I don't here. Think. Yeah,
I don't remember what I was going to say. As soon as somebody else starts talking, I remember.
There
what
it
I was
is. Oh, okay. There it is. That's how it goes.
I was going to say.
I'll cut him off. All right, Jason, you can't talk anymore. Sorry, bud.
I'll forget where you left off.
It's something like 94% of the goods from Walmart are Chinese.
Oh yeah, they did that. See.
And that yeah, just goes right. to show you, and we have Maersk, the shipping company from
94%.
Yeah, something like that. It's
this
in
isn't this is in the 90s that it happened, right? Mid-90s that they started to transition this in Walmart.
Sam Walton was a smart man.
He was.
Yeah,
but they started to get away from their quality because they wanted to sell. They wanted to compete with
it's
Amazon.
Cheap stuff.
And Amazon's
you can't
doing
expand
that now,
it
right?
That fast.
Slave labor is how they
correct
do
quality
it.
Products.
That's just how they did.
But,
so
but
well.
Do we care? Like. Now maybe we do, but like Walmart's cheaper than everywhere
exactly.
else.
And my point is like a lot like you can't stop Walmart. They're too big. And they're dependent on China. They have to have China.
Yeah.
You don't think Walmart has their strings pulling Washington DC and laws and trade deals? The only person that didn't care about any of that was Trump, and he's gone. He's I don't know if he'll ever get elected again. I don't know if it's ever going to happen again where we'll have someone right. like that. It's,
have faith, son.
I'll try.
Senator of Florida.
No, yeah, honestly, dude, like even if I'm not really worried about the country as from a standpoint, I'm worried about Texas. I'm going to be straight up because I know where we're headed
if
as a country.
Texas is blue, then
the Texas stuff. National Movement, TMN.com.
But I think that TNM. Texas citizens Well, I say that because I thought country citizens, like American citizens, would do the same thing. But I think Texas citizens would stand up at some point and be like, no, this isn't happening.
But the more
it's gotta be.
The more China has control over those companies and the more those companies have control over
the government. And the government wants control over all the states.
And how do you – what's the classic way to have control? You divide and conquer.
Right.
So China is using the stranglehold they have on our companies to influence our government. Yeah. To divide us, and they're doing it through the companies. They're doing it through the government. They're doing it
with
through
COVID.
Hollywood. They're doing it through the
Russia,
NBA,
China,
and
North
and
Korea.
LeBron.
They all want us divided.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's easier to take advantage.
And COVID
of
came along, and we use all of their
classic
products, and they were able to cut off some products for us, and then and the ship got crashed.
Oh, you
and,
mean like
you know,
prescription medication?
Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty messed up.
Right. All this stuff that they're, and I think they are pulling strings. They're not just saying like, oh, well, it's because of COVID. I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. They're obviously
like
competing with us, right? Why would they? And Trump put a ton of tariffs on him and was like, dude, and
he's
put like a ton
down
of sack. He was like, yeah, he was cracking down. So I think they're like, oh, you guys want to play? And then they're probably just trying to get us back in a
it
way,
was
right?
Retaliation. I don't know if it was a full on like blatant thing where you guys, like you said, they took advantage of it.
Right.
But Trump was putting it on them.
Oh, yeah.
Like no mm-hmm. president has ever done.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I don't care for his rhetoric. I don't tweet like that. I don't tweet, period. But
I wouldn't want to have a beer with the guy, but it doesn't mean he's not good at running.
He doesn't drink.
I would have a beer with the guy in the same room in the corner. Like, I wouldn't be with him, right?
I would.
Oh, I see him. I can see him. I see Trump.
Yeah,
that would be it.
Sure. I would hang with him. I'm going to go ahead and be real. Right.
And I think that was all they needed was somebody that, you know, he was making a massive difference, but they needed him to do and say the things that he did that offended everyone in some way, shape, or form. And
they used that too.
Yeah, and they used mm-hmm. it against him. But
he's so mean.
I read somewhere they were talking about how he could run for senator for Florida. If he won that, he could then run against Pelosi and then
Speaker of the House,
and then he could...
So the House, it'd be a representative.
A representative, but then he could then move to.
I like it. I like Biden.
Impeached.
That'd be a long process.
We have Ron really DeSantis go for president, and
yeah,
then Trump.
He'll run.
Representing Florida.
Before I think before
that
happened,
Florida.
I
totally
think before that
him.
Happened, Trump would probably do the Florida thing, but I don't know how far he would go for the rest of it. I think he'd get people to do it for him. Like
his ego's too big. I don't think he could let anybody else run for president. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he's been like humbled a little bit.
I think
from two impeachments and all this nonsense.
Exactly. I think he's been humbled enough to where he knows kind of when to keep his mouth shut a little bit.
That's a
lot for him.
Yeah.
But I definitely think he's going to run. And if he runs, he's going to get the nomination. Because people like Nikki Haley, they were asked, hey, if Trump runs, are you going to run? She was like, nope.
None of them will. Nobody has said outright that they will run if he
runs. They
right.
won't.
I'm cool with that.
That's Candace awesome. Yeah. Candace Owens, dude,
she's
awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's killing it,
yeah,
for sure.
She's pretty cool.
She's the worst nightmare.
I feel like everyone that's really like good and like trying to speak the, you know, good education, it's truth and all that crap gets picked up by the Daily Wire.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like is happening right now. Ben Shapiro is like building a freaking empire.
Yeah, shout
left
shout
us out. Tears, hot or cold, the Daily Wire.
Yeah.
Matt's mug.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. I was reading this. I got this email from my granddad that had this, it was a Maersk ship, which is the shipping company out of, I think it's Sweden, something like that. Some Nordic country. And it's huge. It carries 15,000 shipping containers at a time. And it goes from China to the United States in 5 days.
Damn.
5 days. It usually takes like 2 or 3 weeks.
That's why that freaking ship probably crashed. It was going 40 kilometers on that canal.
This is too big for the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal.
Really?
Yeah. Too big for either one. So it's only Trans-Pacific. That's it. China, U.S., that's it. China, California,
China, California,
5 days. 15,000 containers. They come fully loaded from China. They go back empty.
Oh, and China didn't pay for that awesome barge. That's a fast boat.
No, it's Swedish.
Oh.
Or whatever Nordic
they pay
country.
For that, and they're using it from China to go to America or go to Sweden?
The fact that it's going
it's
back
their
completely
company.
Empty.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the
okay.
Yeah, 15,000 containers coming over with a bunch of Chinese crap.
Yeah.
And then it's going back with nothing. You know what I think we should fill it with? I'm not going to say that's probably a bad idea. I'll just, we'll just
gloss over that. Hey, Matt, I think I know where you're going. Ooh-wee. What should we put on that?
That was toasty.
To replace the 15,000 containers of crap. Let's just pass on that one.
Yeah,
let's, we'll move on. I was going to say.
That's the first pass of tonight. I want to
be like executive order, like don't say shit.
I'll definitely get banned from YouTube. Say, but
where's the edit button? Edit. We all had thoughts there. That is interesting because import-export, obviously, is, you don't want an empty ship, right?
Nah, that's a huge trade deficit. The name of the game is to have
something on there, right?
Yeah. Soybeans, that was the thing, is Trump made China buy a whole lot of soybeans.
I love it.
Made them.
He did. Yeah,
made them. But yeah, it was really taking money from over here and putting it over here because we're going to tax this at a higher rate.
It still worked.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, yeah. And it's
the ends justify the means.
It's a political, good political tool too.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And now it's all being unraveled slowly but surely.
I don't know about slowly.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah, it seems like it's happening pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah, he's they're getting after it, man.
It is. It's sad, really.
Enough. It's happening so fast. The wind's blowing him up those stairs. I mean,
dude, he can't even stand like up. Fell right.
It's actually Trump hitting that golf ball.
Yeah, that was
the meme. Was the dude, it's hilarious.
And then it did it again.
Yeah, he's like, oh my gosh, dude. I saw another meme to combat that one, and it was like a green screen of the screen in a bar, and he made it all the way up the stairs, and everyone in the bar cheered. It's like, what the heck? Like liberals will be happy with anything, right?
Yeah. Oh God,
it's crazy.
Terrible.
Texas. Heck yeah, man.
Succeed.
Yeah.
Break into five.
All right.
We gotta do something.
Yeah, if they add two, we're gonna break into five.
You think so? You think that'll happen? Like literally, you think that'll happen? Because they're about to break into two, like right now. Really. Like
I had no idea about that.
I mean, I think it's...
we looked into it because we were like, can Texas actually secede? And we wanted to know. And we were like, let's look at like what's actually possible. And it was the 5-state thing without seceding, and then seceding would be a constitutional thing. And
it's a state issue. So as Texas voted on it, it happens.
They can't say no. Yep. You can't do that.
And California can too. Congress like you were saying. California can do the same thing.
They don't get the vote. The president doesn't get the veto.
It's because of the landmass. We have so much.
Does Ted Cruz know this? Because he hasn't said anything.
Oh, he knows. I don't think he would want to say this
card we have, you know?
Keep in the back pocket?
Maybe.
I was rooting for Ted. I would love to see him run again.
Yeah. He's a smart man.
He's a pretty smart guy, yeah.
Maybe we could have him on as a guest next.
Next?
Yeah, like next.
We've had our first. You're the first CEO to be on the show, by the way.
Oh,
we've had our first CEO. Oh, that's so maybe what that plaque it.
Is. Thanks, guys.
Just kidding. Dang, man.
I was just kidding. This whiskey's perfect.
Sweet, man. I'll get you guys some t-shirts at some point too, because I have those, so it'd be good. Awesome.
Toasty teas.
We've hit a lot of stuff today. I can kind of wrap it up. We can keep talking if you want, but I want to get the outro.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having us. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, dude, thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah,
it was probably a short notice thing. Just like, come on, hang out.
As soon as you brought, I was like, I'm in. I love that.
Heck yeah, dude.
Just gave me a little bit about what you guys talked about, and I was all in.
I hope that you've been on some podcast before. I hope this is like a highlight, you know?
It is.
Sweet.
I don't have any reference, so I think it's great.
Cool.
Awesome, dude. All right, guys. Well, you heard it here first. New partners in healthcare, and also you heard everything you need to know about healthcare insurance.
Wait, I remember my second question. I was going to ask it right now, too. I waited till the end. What's the best way? So, with me, I have no life insurance. What's the best way for someone like me, 29, to contact somebody like y'all to hook me up with these plans?
All right. So, I'm at ASBNTX.com, American Senior Benefits of North Texas. It's an acronym. But I'm partnering with Advocate. If you want to call us, they can reach out to you guys and let's just do it directly. I don't want you to get lost in the shuffle. So did they have a way to contact you or comment to you guys?
Yeah, I have an email. They can send the email. ToastyPodcast@gmail.com.
ToastyPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Say you heard Chris, Chase, Advocate, American Senior Benefits, any of this, reference that. Chris or myself or both of us will make sure that anybody through this podcast gets the same treatment that we would do with a referral of a client that's a high net worth client. We're going to treat you the same way.
Yep.
I don't care if you have no net worth. We're still going to take the time to learn about your situation and make our recommendations. Absolutely. If you have a high net worth, we're going to do the exact same thing. We're not going to change what we do. We're going to do it the same way. But we will make sure. I want to show you a few different plans. Obviously, you're going to have to contact me.
Yeah.
The more complex we get, the more likely I'm going to bring Chris in. Because Chris is the man when it comes to structuring these things the right way. So the bigger the numbers are, the more likely you're going to see Chris. Right? Oh. However, you're going to get the same treatment regardless. Doesn't matter how much money you have to invest or where you're at in life. We're going to take care of you either way. We need to sit down. We need to talk. We need to learn a bit more about your situation. And then we're going to talk. And then we're going to make some recommendations.
And that's for anyone, not just 65 and older.
That's anyone. Yep. Anyone. If you want to educate more, go to advocatefinancialpartners.com. We have a whole section on IUL, tax-free retirement. It's all on there. Reach out to these guys and reference it, and we'll make sure we get in touch.
Mention the Toasty podcast.
Yeah, heck yeah.
We'll do something nice for you.
So for all the listeners, if you want to email me, listentoastypodcast@gmail.com. You already know what that is. And obviously, like, share, subscribe, and stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Toasty.